Hello everyone, I am Lewis Santa and I portray Tigger in Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey 2, and you are listening to 30 Screams or Less.
Warning, 30 Screams or Less may contain spoilers about movies that have recently been released. If you haven't seen the movie, go watch it, come back, and enjoy the show. Or, if you don't want to waste your time watching the movie and rather have two random horror dudes watch it for you, we got you covered as well. Welcome everyone to 30 Screams or Less, a horror movie podcast where we review horror movies in 30 minutes or less. Today's movie we're going to be reviewing is Diced? Is that how we're pronouncing it? Diced?
I think it's Diced, yeah.
All right, Diced works. It's written and directed by Jeremy Rudd, starring Jason Brooks as Benjamin Newman, Eden Campbell as Cassandra Blaine, and Colin Fisher as Tommy Blaine. The plot of this movie is a teenage girl determined to discover what happened to her missing mom finds herself face to face with a deranged serial killer that was mistakenly released from an insane asylum on Halloween night. 30 Screams or Less starts now. Corey, what did you think of Diced?
I actually thought this movie was a lot of fun. I had seen it making a lot of waves due to its comparison to Terrifier. It kind of made me want to watch it right there. It absolutely does have a ton of similarities, but I also think it separates itself from Terrifier as its own. I think Benjamin, the actual character, could be a horror icon if they expand on this universe.
I could definitely see that as well. I could see it kind of being a cult classic. Yeah, there are comparisons to Art the Clown, for sure. I could see that. So I can see why people were making these comparisons and saying it's like the new Terrifier type deal. And I'm like, okay, let's pump the brakes for a second. Terrifier is a whole different beast. But this could be something that I think can be expanded upon.
Yeah, and like I got the vibes right off the bat when it started, when I heard the score. It sounded like Paul Wiley. I don't know if he did this movie, but it sounded exactly like some type of song Paul Wiley would write.
Yeah, I did like the score. My only problem with the score was that it felt like it was a little too high in the mix. Did you feel that? Because I feel like when people were talking, it was just like I couldn't make out what they were saying because it was so loud and ominous.
There was a lot of, I want to say, audio issues in this movie because it was that. And I noticed at points, too, where there was kind of like static in the background. Mm. I don't know if you noticed that, but I noticed it specifically when they were in the warehouse towards the end of the movie and Cassandra was walking through those pallets.
Mm-hmm.
There was this weird static noise in the background.
Huh. Okay, I didn't notice that. Maybe I didn't notice because my subwoofer does this fucking weird thing now where it just keeps making crackling noises. I can't figure it out.
That's called a blown speaker, Steve.
I know, but I've never turned this thing up that loud in order to justify a blown speaker.
You were watching fucking Oppenheimer on the highest volume, weren't you?
I was, and that's part of the reason why I'm deaf, is all that dialogue.
The 3 hours of dialogue made you deaf.
You love that movie.
Fuck Oppenheimer.
You
trash.
Really hate that movie. Yeah, you just 3 hours of talking and then 3 minutes of a bomb going off.
I'd rather watch The Anchor again than watch that movie.
Woo, that's bold. That is very bold.
It's 2 weeks in a row where I've shit on the movie that won Best Movie of 2023.
We just went right into it quick this time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It didn't ease into that one.
No, just straight in right away. We're like, we got to get our hits in, get it done, and then we review the movie.
I like it. We're trying a new thing here. We'll shit on other movies.
Yeah, just trying all of our insults first, get it out of the way. That way we're not wasting so much time fucking going off into the ether, then going, oh yeah, we're talking about a movie.
Remember that movie we reviewed and it didn't record? I don't remember what it was, but I'd rather watch that than Oppenheimer.
Oh, shit, man. I hated that movie. I did not like that movie.
It was better than Oppenheimer.
Wow, that's bold too, because that movie to me, I was so checked out of Underground when I watched it. I had to rewind it because I'm like, oh, fuck, I missed a whole section because I was bored on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
So, that movie had audio issues, too.
It had more than that.
Well, it had all sorts of stuff going on. We don't know. It was weird. But, yeah, that's part of the lost tapes for 30 Screams or Less. You'll never hear it. Maybe if we do a Patreon, I'll just release Corey's portion because my portion didn't record.
Yeah, you'll hear me talking to myself for 30 minutes. It's fucking hilarious, though. Maybe we should release that sometime.
Oh, my God. That'd be funny.
We got to sell it, though. We're not giving that shit for free.
No, we have a Patreon. Like,
really?
I created the account. I haven't utilized it at all because no one's going to fucking pay for us at the moment. We got to get up there. We have to build this following a little bit more before we can be like, maybe people will pay $5 a month for exclusive podcast episodes.
I know like one person that said they would pay for it, and $5 a month. Hey, that might add up. We can save up for a whole year.
That's $60 a year.
Mm-hmm.
That pays for a portion of our hosting costs and stuff.
Yeah, fuck it.
Fuck it. It helps. Who knows? I mean, I'm not expecting to be fucking loaded off the podcast. Would it be awesome? Yeah. I would love to quit my day job and fucking do the podcast full time. Hell yeah.
That's the goal.
That is the goal. Everyone make it happen for us. Just buy merch. Buy some awesome beard oil and beard shampoo and stuff. And then maybe we'll set up a Patreon and then you can pay $5 a month. All that good stuff. So
I like that idea.
Me too. So we're going off into the ether again. Let's get back into this movie because it's a short one.
So I enjoyed that it was short because you didn't have to put a ton of time aside for it. Like you and I had talked about doing this movie and I was like, I'll watch it when I get home from work tomorrow because it's only going to take an hour.
Yeah.
I finished watching this movie like 20 minutes ago. So,
so it's like fresh in the mind.
Yeah. So it's like the best way to do it where it's fresh. But I really, really loved how this movie opens up with the two nurses arguing about them releasing the wrong patient.
Yep.
I thought we were going to get a nurse fight, but I unfortunately didn't happen. But I loved how the camera kept cutting back and forth between Benjamin walking through the woods to like his first kill and the nurses arguing with each other. I thought that was pretty cool.
I think we need a nurse slap fight.
Okay. I'm sure we can stage it somehow.
Oh, God, please. Let's stage that. That'd be amazing.
Yep.
So we'd be like, we're actors. We don't do this. And we're like, well, you both got in an argument. We got to get it settled.
So Benjamin's walking to this house, right, for his first kill. And we see the kid. He's like putting makeup on. Dude, at this point, this is the moment where I realized this was set in the 80s because that kid had those fucking giant headphones on.
Yep. And they fucking rule.
And they rule. And then we saw Jay Leno as a killer because he's got the most ridiculous chin I've ever seen.
Dude, his chin was so fucking big. I'm surprised that thing wasn't dragging on the ground.
It was close. Yeah. It was like below his neckline almost.
Like if he was escaping from the mental hospital and there was like barbed wire up top, he would get caught. His jaw would just get caught in that barbed wire.
Yeah, he'd be toast.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I thought maybe that was like you would see that on an actual scarecrow, but this dude had that jaw before he put the makeup and the costume on.
Yeah, I don't know how he had a jaw like that. Like maybe he just shaved that thing in the, you know, the mental institution. I don't know. Maybe they gave him a file and he just started going at it.
Yeah. He's got time to kill.
Why not? What was he in there? Like 10 years, something like that?
I think that's what they said, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think it was 10, 15 years, whatever. Something like that.
And then they just let him go.
Yep. Like, oops, my bad.
Let the wrong person go.
So dumb. Whatever. Hey, people make mistakes and let serial killers loose. It happens.
Yeah, it was fine. So, what did you think of Benjamin's first kill? I love this so much.
I liked it.
We also find out he has, like, this obsession with cutting limbs off.
Yeah, I think that's the whole idea of Diced, is that he cuts limbs or cuts pieces off. He doesn't necessarily just like, well, I mean, he does later on in the film, like, you know, fucking go a little ballistic. But it seems like that was kind of his thing at first, because at first, obviously, he cut this guy's throat, which this guy took a while to die. I don't know if you noticed that. And then he finally, like, died after Benjamin was cutting off his arm with cleaver in, like, epic fashion.
Oh, yeah. And it was pretty gross, too. The effects they had in this film were great. You never know. It was like probably super low budget.
Oh, yeah. It was absolutely low budget. But for what the budget probably was, I thought it looked good. The practical effects were pretty good. So I think they did a great job on that. But I love the makeup and prosthetics. Yeah, I'm going to go with prosthetics. Like, all of that for Benjamin, because I thought the makeup looked really well. I mean, obviously, the kid he killed before that didn't know what the fuck to do with makeup. Also, Benjamin, I don't know how he got that good with makeup. Like you said, he probably has all this time to kill in the mental institution, so he figured out how to paint.
Yep, just finger painting in prison.
Yep, exactly. Just finger painting his face the whole time.
I did love, though, that this kid that Benjamin went to kill was doing the makeup, the same scarecrow makeup.
How convenient, huh?
Yeah, and it's almost like Benjamin didn't have a plan of what he was going to be when he got out. He just decided to paint his face because clearly this kid was going out as a scarecrow for Halloween.
Mm-hmm. So he's like, don't worry, I got you, fam. And he picked up where he left off.
Yeah, exactly. He just fucking took his hand with him.
Yeah. And you know what's it was funny? Yeah, he took his hand or arm or whatever, and he started writing something in the mirror. What the hell was he writing?
It's definitely some, like, I don't want to say Egyptian writing, but it was like code words or some weird, I don't know. I know we'll find it. There's one. Yes, that's what I was looking for. There's definitely going to be a sequel, so I bet we'll find more about it then.
Well, there better be a sequel after that ridiculous ending, but we'll get to that.
There is, because Fangoria made a post about the movie, and the director, Jeremy, actually commented on the post and said that there will be a sequel.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah. So yeah, they'll expand on it more in that.
Sweet. Well, that's good news, because, yeah, we definitely need for it to be expanded upon. Also, your food's probably here, because I hear your dog barking.
Yeah, dogs are going crazy.
Yep, sounds about right. So this movie, I think, could definitely use a sequel. Also, the 59 minutes deal, like the 59 minutes runtime, it's convenient. It's like us, you know, we don't have these crazy long episodes unless we're like interviewing someone. They're pulling off this 30 screams or less deal. You know, they're like, let's get as much done in 1 hour time. Then people can go back to doing whatever they want to do in their life.
Yeah, that's like one of my things with like TV shows, for example. Like, I don't mind long shows, like hour long shows, but I'd much rather like a half hour show.
Yeah, you can sit down and you watch it and then you figure out, you know what, maybe I will watch another episode. That's control right there.
Yeah, I don't know if it was because of budgets that it was only an hour long, but I loved it. I loved the fact that it was only an hour long.
Yeah, I liked it at the hour point, but the problem is I feel like they maybe needed a little bit more time to expand on some of the other things that occurred in this movie. A half hour, 45 minutes, it could have been budget restraints that caused this issue. It wasn't even an issue. It might have been more done on purpose, maybe just to kind of get his feet wet, see the demand for this movie, they kill it in an hour, and then maybe, okay, we're going to put out this character a little bit more. They did the same thing with Art the Clown.
Oh,
not Jeremy Rudd, but yeah, I mean, Art the Clown, he made a few appearances prior to the Terrifier movies.
Did you watch the short film?
Yeah, I did.
I loved it, and then, of course, you had All Hallows Eve.
Yep, exactly.
And then the two Terrifier films, but yeah, the short film was like, what, 20 minutes, I think?
Mm-hmm.
And then the All Hallows Eve, I don't remember how long that was, but it wasn't long either.
Yeah, no, it was a different actor, that's for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. David Howard Thornton wasn't Art until Terrifier 1.
Yeah, David Howard Thornton is perfect for that role.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he was
the right man.
And whoever plays Benjamin in this movie, I think, did perfect too. Jason Brooks is his name. I just looked at it. I think he did perfect too. He got that whole like mime thing down. Like, he portrays so much without saying anything,
mm-hmm.
which is what Art the Clown did. But yeah, he does the mannerisms and the facial expressions and stuff like that, which I loved.
That he did. There were a lot of similarities in this movie to Terrifier. And I think this one's a whole different beast. But I think people just saw, like, oh, he's kind of almost clown-looking, you know, with the makeup and all that stuff and the mannerisms and all these things. So the people are probably making those comparisons right off the bat after seeing what Benjamin looked like. So, yeah, a lot of people were making these comparisons. But I think it's comparing apples to oranges, not like chicken parmesan to apples, but apples to oranges, because we're at least closer this time.
What the fuck? What a comparison.
I said that last time because you were trying to compare Ninja Turtles versus Oppenheimer.
Oh god, not Oppenheimer. No, we're not going there again.
We don't need to go there again. We don't need to talk about it. We've done enough. This is a horror podcast, not a podcast about Oppenheimer,
and nor will it ever be.
You don't want that?
No.
Why not?
Can we just move on? No more Oppenheimer.
Okay, yeah, let's move on.
I'm getting fucking sleepy thinking about it.
I could use a nap. Maybe I'll watch Oppenheimer.
Go watch Oppenheimer. So after this first kill here, we meet the kids.
Yeah.
Which Cassandra and Tommy. So Cassandra and Tommy were, I think, clearly Jonathan and Sienna from Terrifier 2.
Yeah, they were. Yeah.
Also, whoever they cast to play Tommy looked like a 20-year-old Johnny Knoxville.
Yeah, definitely did.
But yeah, this was clearly Sienna and Jonathan, and I hated Tommy just as much as I hate Jonathan.
He had like the glasses and everything, and wait a second, did he have glasses? Yes, he had glasses. Jonathan had glasses, right? I'm drawing a blank.
I honestly don't remember, and I watched the movie 20 minutes ago.
I mean, like, he had a long-ass neck. This one did not have a long-ass neck.
A Ninja Turtle neck?
Yeah, exactly. You know, one that fills up my whole entire apartment.
Yep.
Just from wall to wall, neck. So, yeah, this guy did look like, well, he had the glasses and everything like that. So people would be like, he's like Jonathan, whatever. But what did you feel about the acting for some of these characters? I thought Tommy was a little, I think he needs some work.
Oh, yeah. I mean, obviously, all of these actresses and actors have not had a lot of like screen acting roles, but I think it was okay for what it was. It wasn't pure shit.
Yeah. I mean, they're not going to get like some sort of A-list star in this kind of movie. I mean,
well, when it gets remade with what's his face, James McAvoy, then it'll be great.
Yeah, it'll be awesome. I don't know who they'll cast for Benjamin, but at least we'll get James McAvoy in there.
David Howard Thornton.
Yeah, that works.
That'll be awesome. Then we can get like a Freddy vs. Jason type movie.
Oh my God, could you imagine?
Yeah, that would be a cool movie.
Yeah, you know what? I'll even take David Howard Thornton versus Jason Brooks in this universe. Fuck it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, let's make it happen.
I would love that. That'd be awesome. If we manifest this, it'll happen. You know how it works.
I know. Corey, I know. If we manifest this, I'm done. I'm not bringing anything up anymore because it's happening too much lately. Come on. We just manifested Neve Campbell being in Scream 7.
I know. That's crazy.
We called it a year ago, over a year ago. I think over a year at this point, or at least a year.
Yep. I think we both said that they should give the... Actually, no. When we reviewed Scream 6, Jenna Ortega and Melissa Barrera were still on for 7. But now that they're gone, I think we talked about it in a later episode, how they should give the money they saved from the two of them and give it to Neve.
Yep.
I think they might have done it.
Yeah, they might have.
Now they just need to fulfill the prophecy and make her the killer and undo everything they've ever done.
Please do it. Oh, my God. Oh, I need it. Because then I can be like, I'm a fucking prophet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I go start a cult.
Oh.
Because at this point, why not?
That escalated.
No, I don't join cults. I start them.
Okay.
The cult of democracy. You know,
just a bunch of Helldivers 2 nerds.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, my God. Then it'll turn into some sort of thing. The FBI will be all over it. You know, like the Juggalos.
No, edit that out. We don't say that.
We don't say Juggalos?
No, edit that too.
Why not? You don't want to hear me talking about Juggalos and how they became a gang?
This 2 weeks in a row, you made me want to quit this thing.
I'll cut it. Edit.
No, you can leave it.
All right, I'll leave it. I'm not talking about ICP. I'm just saying how, like, they got classified as a gang. Like, on the same level
right?
as Bloods and Crips and all that.
And that was in the dictionary, right? Is that what it was? They added the term Juggalo to the dictionary?
Well, there's that, but then there's an actual documentary about ICP and Juggalos and, like, the FBI establishing them as a gang.
That's what it was, the FBI. Okay.
Yeah.
No results found for Juggalo on dictionary.com.
No, not quite. Not yet. Oh, God. I think I might watch that later if I get my hands on it. If it's on fucking streaming services, why not?
What?
Watch that documentary.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
I was like, you're going to watch Stranglemania or Big Money Hustlers?
Fucking Stranglemania. You've seen it, right?
Of course.
Oh, it's
Mad
so...
Madman Pondo?
Yeah, it's so good. Lamina Manumi. Leather balls. It's fucking great.
I hate them, but that was great stuff.
That was pinnacle. Like, peak ICP. Everything else, whatever. That is amazing. I love it.
We'll go with that it was amazing.
The amount of times I've watched that on VHS is ridiculous.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. We had it.
I think I had it, too, yeah.
Yeah, and then Bri, I think, got it on DVD, and really it's just a VHS rip to DVD.
I wonder if he can still buy it.
There's got to be a way. They probably have something on their shop or whatever. They sell everything. They're like Kiss. It's probably like
Stranglemania.
ICP. It's available?
No, you can get it on eBay for like $80.
Woo! Damn! That's expensive. I am not paying that kind of money.
No, I'm just going to go on YouTube. I'm sure it's all there.
It is. It's, you know what, people? You don't even have to like ICP, but if you come across this, it's just them doing wrestling commentary and just shitting on everything. And like just making it absolutely absurd. It's
Insane Clown Posse versus the Chicken Boys. All right.
We're done talking about the clown. We don't need to talk about this anymore. This is officially it. We're done. We're done. So, all right, so let's get back into it now.
Yeah, so like Benjamin, he goes to this house. He's sitting on the farmer's porch, and he sits on one side of the porch, and there's this lady on the other side of it, like, reading a book, and this dude pretends to be a scarecrow because there's trick-or-treaters.
Sure.
When he killed her, it was pretty sick.
Yeah, the way she died was pretty gnarly. I mean, she tried like hell, but then, you know, he stabs her with a scythe, like a handheld scythe. Is that what
it
is?
I have no idea where he got that. He just, like, showed up with it one day.
You know what? I don't know where he got it either. Part of me thinks that, did the kid have it at the beginning? But because I don't know where he got it.
I have no clue.
Scarecrows don't walk around with scythes. It's completely different. Like, it's like one of the smaller ones, you know, the ones that are really fucking hooked. So it's not like a scythe that you would see with the Grim Reaper, you know, one of those giant ass ones. This is almost like more of a half moon.
He did have an actual like scythe later on in the film, though.
Yeah, he did, actually. I don't know where he got that, but cool.
Yeah, that too just appeared.
Yeah, that's the weird thing. A lot of the weapons just out of nowhere. We have no idea where he got any of them. Knives, that's pretty self-explanatory, I'm sure. I mean, he could have just gone in the house where that woman was. And then he started, like, hacking off her limbs. And, oh, wait, but we didn't talk about how he stabbed her in the stomach with that scythe, the handheld one, and then nailed her to the floor.
Dude, the nailing to the floor, I was cringing.
Yeah, I cringed on the first nail. The second nail was like, oh, this is a little cheesy looking, but I that's okay.
Did you notice how, like, oddly calm she was as she was getting nailed to the floor?
Yeah, I don't think I'd be that calm.
No, she's just like, whatever, let it happen.
Yeah, if I'm for some reason in the Jesus Christ pose on my floor with someone on top of me, I think I'd be freaking out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd definitely be trying to pull my arms free, because what's the worst that could happen? The friggin' nail goes through your hand already? It's already there. Might as well just fucking pull.
It is pretty gnarly, though, how he nails her arms down and then manages to cut one of her hands off while it's nailed down. So she can't even, like, defend herself as her hand's getting chopped off.
Nope, she can't at all. So she just fucking takes it, and he cuts her hand off. And that's how she dies, though, which is a little weird.
I said the same thing. Like, they showed her kind of, you know, blank stare, looking like she's dead. I kind of felt like she just bled out. Are we just supposed to assume that?
That's what I was kind of assuming, is that she just bled out. Maybe went into like full body shock, and that was it, right? Just eyes glazed over, dead. So,
capital D-E-D.
Capital D-E-D, dead. So dead, she died. All right. So next up we see, and now this made me really think of Terrifier, because you have Cassandra and one of her friends, they're at this coffee shop, you know, they're getting coffee, they're getting like some snack, whatever. And then you see Benjamin come in, and he's just hanging out in the corner, you know, reading the paper, just looking at them. And this is similar to that of Terrifier, except when it came to Art the Clown was just sitting in the restaurant looking at them. He wasn't reading a newspaper or nothing like that, but he would do, like, you know, the smile and stuff like that. But that's about it.
Yeah, very similar to that scene in Terrifier 1.
Yeah, it was very similar. Some differences, but quite similar. Also, if someone just straight up walked into a restaurant like that, I would definitely be like, this is a bit sus. A little suspicious.
Yeah. It was pretty funny, though, how Benjamin was leaving the shop and he had that hand that he chopped off, and he just put it in the form of a middle finger and stuck it on the table and left.
Oh, yeah, it was great. Like, this is where all these comparisons come, is little things like that. So, for instance, in Terrifier 2, when he cut off the mother's head and he was using it as a bowl for candy, right? So it seems like Benjamin would do the kind of same thing. He would just take body parts and use them for some ridiculous purpose later on.
Yeah, that's what he did.
Yeah, I mean, the first kid, he used the blood from the arm to write some sort of hieroglyphics in the mirror. And then he took the hand from that girl and put it in a cup of coffee with the middle finger sticking up.
Yeah, that reminded me of Child's Play for some reason. Yeah. Chucky always did that.
Yeah, he did do that. All right, yeah, we're at this point. Oh, God, Corey, this is one of the scenes where you're just like, what the fuck? You know, it's almost like they're doing some of these things to intentionally piss you off. One was putting a bunch of jalapenos in a fucking spaghetti sauce.
So I thought I saw something. Like, I literally was seeing shit. And the dad was chopping up, and it was peppers or something, but it was clearly habaneros.
Yeah.
And he just dumps them in a pot of spaghetti sauce that he's making. And he's like, I'm making your grandmother's recipe. And he goes, pasta sauce.
Pasta?
That triggered me when he said pasta.
Pasta. Oh, man.
So he dies in vicious fashion because he deserved it for ruining that sauce. Did you notice after he got killed and he literally gets his intestines ripped out that the actor started breathing?
Oh, I 100% noticed that. How hard is it for you to just hold your fucking breath for a moment and just act dead? You can hold your breath for 15 seconds. Him laying there dead was no longer than 5 seconds.
No.
They just showed him dead, and then, you know, they went to the next scene, which was the party.
Yeah, and this motherfucker is literally breathing. Like, come on, man. Like, just hold your breath for us, like you said, just a couple seconds.
Yeah,
or edit that out.
Yeah, exactly. Because
it was at the very end of the scene.
Yeah, so you know what the problem is? I bet they're, like, looking at a lot of these things on kind of a small monitor, right? When you're filming it, that's what a lot of directors do. They have these monitors so they can monitor the scene, like, up close from the camera point. So it's probably something that's very easily missed if you're looking at it on, like, a 6-inch screen. But later on, they're probably like, oh, fuck. All right, whatever. It was low budget anyways. So it is what it is. And people will talk about it and think it's funny.
Maybe, yeah.
I'm just saying, as an actor, if I was playing dead, I'd play dead. I wouldn't be breathing. I would stare off into a fucking different galaxy and look like my eyes are glazed over. Because I can do that. I mean, I'm not saying I'm a freaking actor or anything, but if I need to look into a whole different dimension and not breathe for a minute, I can do it.
Yeah. Especially I'm sure, you know, he probably got a paycheck for it, but just, like, actually try.
He got a fucking peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
With habaneros on it, because he likes habaneros.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. It's a weird ask on the rider, but okay.
Yeah.
Like my client demands a peanut butter and jelly sandwich with habaneros on it. So this scene actually did look good, though, minus the breathing aspect, the intestines coming out. I thought that looked really well.
Oh, yeah. It was gnarly.
Yeah.
Very, very gory.
Very gory. I was kind of wondering how they did it, though, because here's what I think, is that maybe they're wearing this vest, and in the vest is all the intestines. So, you know, Benjamin goes in and he just starts pulling these intestines, and maybe it's just because it's all covered in blood, you can't really tell. So that's maybe the trick. I don't know, though. I'd love to see how that looks. I know on IMDb there's a bunch of behind the scenes photos, but I didn't see anything like that. So I would love to hear what the director did for that portion.
Yeah, I'm really hoping that Jeremy, like, hears this, because I'm certainly going to send it to him after it gets published, and maybe we can ask.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be cool. Yeah, so then we start going over to the Halloween party, similar to that of Terrifier 2, where you had Sienna Shaw. She was at the party and, you know, getting ripped up, all that good stuff. And then shit hits the fan afterwards. Same deal, except Benjamin decided to make a little bit of an appearance and kills this kid in epic fashion. Probably the best kill of the whole movie.
Oh, absolutely. And they drew it out, too.
Oh, it was fucking... Dude, so he put his fingers in the kid's eyes. Eye stuff. I hate it. Eye stuff.
I saw it happening, and I was like, Steve's shaking right now.
I was shaking. Oh, my God. Because not only did he just stick his fingers in his eyes, he proceeded to pull the kid's head in half. Just split the whole fucking head in half. And
yeah.
You see the brains, the bones, everything like that. It looked really well.
Yeah, and like we were talking about earlier, the behind-the-scenes photos on IMDb, there's a photo of this, and just seeing it up close is crazy because you can see the teeth in the skull of the prosthetic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it looked really nice.
It looks really good.
Yeah, it does look really good. That was probably my favorite kill of the whole movie. Everything else was like okay, but the kid's head gets split in half, and then Tommy comes in. He found his dad dead. You know, he's freaking out. He's trying to talk to Cassandra about their dad being murdered, and they go after Benjamin because Tommy saw Benjamin leaving the scene. So they go after him. Benjamin just randomly knocks the girl out with a knife. And it was just such a weird knockout. But then Tommy starts to play tough guy, trying to fight with Benjamin. Didn't turn out too well. Just stabbed him really weird.
Steve, we didn't talk about the beer.
Oh, God,
one of the most,
yeah.
The weirdest travesties I've ever seen.
Yeah, go for it, Corey.
What? I mean, they're at the party and Cassandra's having a beer and her friend comes over with a flask and she pours vodka in her beer. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I'd be so pissed. I'd be like, man, come on. I was enjoying this beer. Now it's fucked up.
Cassandra's like, vodka and beer? What the fuck? We were all thinking it, Cassandra.
Yeah. Cassandra, we were on the same page as you. We were just like, what the fuck? Who the fucking does that? I know you want people to get drunk, but geez. Like, show some respect.
Yeah, that was disrespectful. They deserve to be arrested for that shit.
Yeah, that was bullshit. I didn't like it. But I understand why it's in the movie, because the girl just wants them to get fucking obliterated. Sure, I get it. But come on, like, within reason. Either you take shots of vodka or you drink a bunch of beers. You don't mix the two at once.
It's yeah, like, take a sip of beer, then fucking chase it with vodka, or vice versa. Just don't mix them. Like, I don't understand.
I don't know. It's fucking weird. Let's just say it's weird. But I get it for the sake of the movie. So, yeah, now we're at this point where we go to, and I don't know why Benjamin picked this place. They went to, like, some warehouse, right? Where they would sell all, like, these old drinks, things like that. So I don't know what would compel Benjamin to, like, knock this girl out and bring her over to this factory. That's the word I want to use, factory. And then, like, she's tied up, he's hanging out, and he's trying to show her that he's got this necklace.
Yeah, it's almost like in Dexter, how Dexter would turn things into kill rooms. I think Benjamin was trying to do the same thing here.
You think so?
He maybe found some sort of abandoned factory or one that wasn't used that often or something and decided to execute her.
Yeah, so
I don't know.
I don't think he was, though. I feel like he was being sympathetic to her, and there's a good reason for this. So she manages to break free, but, you know, he's trying to show her this necklace, and she notices that it's her mom's necklace. So she's trying to figure out, like, why he even has this. She breaks free, runs away. You know, they're kind of chasing each other in this warehouse, factory, whatever you want to call it. And, Corey, this is where, like, more sound issues were happening, right? Like, the staticky shit?
This is what I was talking about when she's maneuvering herself through the pallets, bottles. I could hear some weird background stuff going on.
Yeah. And you know what we didn't talk about as well is, like, the camera appearing stretched in the restaurant scene as well as, like, with the school?
Yeah, I was going to say. So I noticed it in the coffee shop and in the school. It was just, it was odd. It was almost like they changed the ratio or something in the camera for only those scenes.
Yeah, I felt like they chose a different camera and they had to just kind of stretch it a certain way because maybe it was like a different quality or something. I don't know, but I could definitely tell it looked stretched. So I don't know if that was done on purpose or maybe it's like, well, this is all we have to work with for a camera on this particular scene, so we're going to go with it. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. I just feel like if you're going to be making a movie, you got to keep the cameras consistent. But not always the case, though. A lot of movies, they'll use GoPros, for instance, like for action shots or front-facing views. I think they did something like that in The Hangover. You know the scene where Ed Helms, he's walking and the camera's facing him and it looks like everything's all fucking weird around him. It looks like he's drunk. Like how?
Yeah, but I think that's why that scene was like that, was because it was supposed to be like he was drunk or fucked up.
Yeah, it was intentionally done.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas maybe this was intentional. Maybe they were just working with what they got. So yeah, now we're at this point. They're in the factory. She manages to get away. She's running for her life and then ends up stabbing the shit out of Benjamin. So I'm thinking that, okay, maybe this is it. Maybe this is the end. Stabs the absolute shit out of him, like, for a good portion, man.
Yeah, she stabs the shit out of him, and then she grabbed, like, a sledgehammer or something, and then starts beating the shit out of him with a sledgehammer.
Oh, yeah.
But did you notice here that there was no sound when she hit him with the hammer?
Yeah, none whatsoever.
There was no thuds or anything.
No, there needed to be some thuds. Like squelching or thuds or something that needed to be in there to indicate like, oh, this is really vicious. But it just looked like, I don't know, like she's just kind of swinging the hammer and there was no oomph to it. It needed oomph, but it wasn't happening. But she did yell, fuck you a lot.
Every time she swung the hammer, fuck you.
Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you. But right before this, she called the cops and then she just started destroying him with a sledgehammer.
So did you know that one of the cops was Jeremy Rudd?
You know what? I didn't notice that at first, but that makes total sense.
Yeah, he made a little cameo.
Because why not? I mean, Quentin Tarantino does it. A lot of directors do it.
Yeah.
M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong does it.
Shyamalan Ding Dong. Okay.
Yeah.
I haven't heard that.
That's been a while? Oh, or you've never heard that?
No, I haven't heard anyone refer to him with that.
That's a Steve original.
Really?
Yeah. I don't think I've ever heard anyone say M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong.
Well, now it's public and people will use it.
Yeah, it's kind of like
we have millions of listeners.
Yep. You know, it's like me saying Kaka Pee Pee, M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong.
Jabapo.
Jabapo. I could just keep going. I've got them all.
All right. That's so good. I'm glad you have your own vocabulary.
I know. I need my own dictionary.
You should write one.
I think that'd be fun.
Put Juggalo in it.
Yep. Because it needs its own space. So, now this is the weird part.
The ending?
Yeah. Yeah, this was a little weird to me. And I think this was maybe just done intentionally because they knew they were going to have a sequel. But it was just so, like, out of left field. So what happened here is that the cops show up. Benjamin's gone. Just in, like, any other killer where, for some reason, the killer's up and leaves, even though they're borderline dead. You know, Michael Myers has done it. Like, they've all done it. So that's usually just a setup for a sequel, but this is the weird thing, is that Cassandra's there. The cops show up. Randomly, out of nowhere, the girl's mother, who was presumed quite dead via the hands of Benjamin, we find out that Benjamin is actually her father.
Yeah, that was a very weird twist.
It was just so random. It felt very random.
Yeah, and then so we get this bombshell here, and then the movie just ends. It's done. Yep.
That's it.
Black screen.
Fade to black. That's it. Could have used a half hour to maybe expand upon that, but okay, sure. Like I said, I think he was just testing the waters and seeing if like maybe more people want to see a sequel, because why invest so much time if maybe people don't want to see a sequel?
Yeah, that had to be it. But like personally, I really want a sequel. Like they need to expand on this. Like I'll talk about it in my final review. But
yeah, I think they need a sequel just to kind of expand upon this. You know, maybe we'll get a full hour and a half, maybe an hour 45. We don't need a 2.5 hour movie. Don't worry about that.
Don't do that.
No, you don't need to do that. Terrifier 2 did that, and it didn't feel like 2.5 hours, even though...
Oh, yes, it did to me.
Oh, it did it?
Oh, my God. Yes. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying I know it was long. It felt long.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there were aspects where it probably just felt like really long. Well, actually, you know what? Yeah, because there were scenes where it was like, holy shit, this is still happening. You know, the chase scene mostly through the circus or carnival or whatever. Yeah, like that. That was one for sure. So, Corey, what do you give Diced?
So I'm going to give this 4 out of 5 dead kids. I think this is a really promising directorial debut from Jeremy Rudd. I'm hoping this means a bright career for him in the future. I can't wait to see what else he does. And I kind of touched on this earlier, but I kind of enjoyed the short runtime. But at times it did feel rushed. Mm-hmm. I assume it's because of the budget restraints, but I'd love to know more about this character, Benjamin, which I'm sure they are saving for the sequel.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, maybe they'll do something like a GoFundMe, something like that. I think that would probably be their best bet. You know, it would make sense to beef up the budget a little bit more, get some more exposure, all that stuff. For me, I'm going to go with a 3 out of 5. It's a promising slasher, but I think the movie was rushed, kind of like you said, due to its short runtime, whether it was intentional or not. I think needed a little bit more time to expand on certain aspects. The random mother showing up when she was presumed dead, like I was just saying, only for the girl to find out Benjamin is her father, seemed a little rushed at the end, and that's where the extra runtime probably would have helped with that, to like develop that more. And then same deal, you could probably go into the whole spiel of like a teased sequel. So making it 30 to 45 minutes longer could have really helped to develop that. So we don't know whether there will be a sequel or not. You said that there's gonna be. I hope that there is. Another thing that really just didn't do for me was the ominous music was a bit overpowering. Luckily, I had closed caption on, which for some reason I do now. I just got so used to it. So I had it on. I could see what they were saying. But for me, I was having a little bit of trouble differentiating the ominous music versus the speaking. So that was troublesome for me. But I can see why people were making all these comparisons to Art the Clown and Terrifier. So would I say that they would take over Art the Clown like and be like the new Art the Clown? Probably not. But would I say this be a cult classic killer? For sure. I think that would be more accurate.
Yeah, I could see this character living on in the horror universe as an icon if he keeps going with this, because I don't recall ever seeing a movie with a killer scarecrow.
Yeah, I don't. Jeepers Creepers?
Fuck that.
What?
Okay, Jeepers Creepers 1 and 2 were good, all right. But then it just spiraled out of control.
That's fine. We'll just stick with that. I love Jeepers Creepers 2 because of the fight at the end between the father, the son, and the creeper. It's so fucking sick. You watched that movie for that scene.
I completely forgot about Jeepers Creepers until you said that, so...
I wouldn't necessarily call him a scarecrow. He can act like a scarecrow because he sleeps for 23 years, and then he wakes up. Oh, by the way, apparently he wakes up this year. That's what I was reading on social media, is that this is the 23rd year. I don't know how it makes sense, but I guess so.
Oh, shit.
Yep. So
I thought that they were making another one.
There's a third one, but I don't think there needs to be a fifth one.
No. Yeah, just let that franchise die.
Yeah, we don't need any more. It's fine. The third one was meh. Second one was great. First one was great. So just leave it as that. Don't need a fourth. We're fine.
Yeah, but they will, because money.
I don't even think there's really money in that, because that went straight to streaming. And maybe like bargain bin DVD. You know, the $5 dollar bin and $5 Walmart
bin. At Walmart?
Bin.
Holy shit.
Yeah, that's where it is. You know, though, there's some gems in there.
Oh, they did. They came out with one in 2022.
Was that the third one?
No. Jeepers Creepers Reborn.
Wait a sec. Come on. Jeepers Creepers Reborn. 2022 film.
There was a 1, 2, 3. Oh, and there was a Jeepers Creepers Returns.
I'm on Google. I just searched for it. 1.2 stars for Reborn.
It shows how popular it was.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Jeepers Creepers 2. Okay, so this is a fourth. Okay, maybe I'll watch it later. I don't know where I can watch it, but fuck it. Why not?
Just no. Don't suffer. I forgot Justin Long was in the first one.
Yeah.
I had this on DVD.
The first one?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. I mean, it's a good movie to have on DVD. Oh, geez. Yeah, the budget for this does not look that great. Corey, are you looking at the poster for Jeepers Creepers Reborn?
No.
It looks like he's like got a baby carriage in front of him.
Did the creeper have a baby?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Yep.
Directed by Timo Vorensola.
Yeah, that's something like that.
Death gives it life is its tagline. Holy shit.
We should just watch 4 Jeepers Creepers movies in a row and review every single one of them. And then people could see the decline of the episodes.
I actually don't hate that idea. That's fun. Let's put that on the list.
Yeah, I like that.
Jeepers Creepers franchise review.
And we'll see, like, obviously we'll probably be like talking like first one awesome, second one awesome, and then you start seeing our decline of us shitting on things.
Okay, that will happen in a future episode, maybe for like our 2-year anniversary.
Oh, that's a good idea. All right, everyone, be sure to like, follow, and subscribe on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, and YouTube. Leave us a 5-star review on all podcast platforms so we can get some more exposure. Of course, tell your friends. Both our intro and outro music are courtesy of Andrew Scott Bell. Be sure to check out Andrew on all major streaming platforms. And if you see Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey on vinyl in the wild, be sure to pick it up. We're also part of the Shining Wizards Network. Be sure to visit ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. They're an awesome podcast network ranging from wrestling to heavy metal, horror, all that good stuff. So check that out. Visit 30ScreamsOrLess.com for all previous episodes and transcripts to go with those episodes. Also, check out BeardOctane.com for their whole line of grooming supplies. And be sure to use the code 30Screams10 at checkout for 10% off your order. And if there's anything you want us to review, send an email to 30screamsorless@gmail.com or hit us up on social media. Use hashtag 30screamsorless. And also, we have some awesome merch for sale on our website, so definitely check that out. If you go to our website, at the very top, there's a shop link. Click that link, and you'll see all sorts of shirts, hats, mugs, things like that. If you buy it, it helps going towards our hosting costs. I'm Steve.
I'm Corey.
And thanks for listening to 30 Screams or Less. And don't forget to drink your beans.